Supposed to hear this?
And good evening, basketball fans, and welcome to the Upstate Hoops Podcast on FingerLakes1.tv. I'm Jim Sinacropi here in studio with my co-host Matt Verkey, as well as Lions head coach Zach Young. I do hope you'll stay with me for the next half hour because we have a great show on tap. We'll recap all the holiday tournament action in the Wayne Finger Lakes. We'll catch up with Ted Baker and we'll give you our players of the week. And stay tuned as we release the latest edition of our FL1 Sports Upstate Hoops Wayne Finger Lakes Power Rankings and the Girls Super 6 Rankings at the end of the show. The Upstate Hoops Podcast is brought to you by Generations Bank with locations in Auburn, Farmington, Geneva, Phelps, Seneca Falls, Union Springs, and Waterloo. Check out their mobile banking app and visit them online at mygenbank.com. And by Dr. Rod Littlejohn, over 30 years of smiles with style. And by Red's Place, the best lunches around are in downtown Seneca Falls. Check out the menu at menshalloffame.com. Well, as I mentioned, Zach Young's in studio with us tonight. Welcome, Zach. Happy holidays.
Same to you.
And Verk's back up here, per usual. Verk, how's it going?
Good. Merry Christmas, Jim.
Yeah, light week, fellas, on the hardcore. Zach, I don't think you played all week, did you? You didn't even have a game.
We did not.
And we had a couple holiday tournaments. But yeah, light week and another light week this week before we get hot and heavy in 2015. But I have holding on the line right now, voice of Finger Lakes Radio Sports, Ted Baker. Ted, happy holidays.
Well, same to you guys. Great to be back and looking forward to the full schedule kicking in here in the next couple of weeks.
And now, Ted, you had a light week too. No games. So we're going to kind of jump ahead and look at where you're going to be this week. A couple of girls games on the schedule.
Yeah, we have and actually I'm not doing the one tomorrow night because I got called away for hockey duty again, but Craig Simmons will be at Miners Academy, Miners girls hosting Marcus Whitman. They've lost a couple of games, but I heard you guys talking a little bit before you went on the air, and we talked last week about how well the Miners girls are doing. I mean, a team that won 3 and 4 games the last 2 years but then blew through their Class C opposition, making some noise. They took Geneva right to the limit this week.
Yeah, and the those are a couple key games in the East. And, you know, Verk, we talked about starting out the Super 6 girls rankings to go with our Wayne Finger Lakes boys power rankings. And, you know, both those teams, I assume, are going to be in the top six?
Yeah, they both are. You know, I think in the local girls, it's dominated by the Finger Lakes East. You know, I think the Wayne County League is a little bit down this year. And, you know, of course, you got Romulus out in the West who's come off a state championship and got a, you know, 20-something game win streak going. So you can never, you know, count Romulus out either.
Ted, if you were making the Super 6 girls rankings, what would it be?
Boy, well, it's hard for me a little bit because I don't see all of the teams. But I think, like Verk said, you got to have Geneva and Minders in there. Romulus is showing no signs of letting up from last year. They're still unbeaten. The Mid-Lakes girls are doing pretty well this year. That's one surprise on the upside. One surprise to me is that the Palmac girls are just 1-3 and 1-3 yeah. In the league. That's I don't know who all they've played. I assume they must have played the teams at the top, but I'm a little bit surprised by that. I thought they'd be, and I think they will be a better team than that as the year goes on.
Yeah, I think Palmac actually has lost to – their only win was against Minders in a close game for the girls, and they lost to Mid-Lakes, who, like Ted said, is, you know, they're undefeated in the league. I think they're undefeated overall, and, you know, Mid-Lakes is maybe the second-best team in the Finger Lakes behind Geneva. But I think, you know, Palmac's kind of fallen into – they had a really tough schedule to start out. They've lost to Geneva. I think they lost to Wayne and Mid-Lakes. So they've played all the top teams already and all close games, but weren't able to pull any of those out except for the Miners game.
Yeah, and that's one of the things this time of year. It's always the standings can be a little bit deceptive because you don't unless you take into account who's played who. I mean, you can look at a team that has a couple of losses, but maybe they came against the two best teams in their league.
Sure.
So, Ted, where are you going to be this week then, and the game times and channels?
All right, first is tomorrow night. We've got the Minders girls hosting Marcus Whitman. That's a 7:30 tip-off on WGVA. And then on Saturday, there's a holiday tournament at Wayne, and the Geneva girls will take on Pittsford Mendon. It's always good to see how they do against the big suburban schools because, of course, that's who they meet when it comes time for sectionals. So that'll be a good game for them. That's Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock on WGVA.
All right, Ted. Well, thanks again for joining us. Cutting it short this week because there's not much action, but we'll be back with you next Sunday night, and we'll be listening to you on the air.
All right, sounds good. Thanks.
Thanks, Ted.
See you, Ted.
And there it is, a short version of Radio Roundball Roundup this week, but I can't wait till we get into the schedule and we get some reports on a bunch of games that we're anticipating but not able to get there in person. Like a lot of the games that were played this week during the holiday week, maybe the biggest surprise of the week came in Prattsburg, where Naples went ahead and beat Early College in the first round and then beat Prattsburg in the finals. And I think that puts them at 6-0. Naples at 6-0. And Zach, they're in your class.
They are. That's, to me, the best win by a local team so far, out of conference or out of their league, and one that I know I wouldn't say it surprised me, but yeah, I guess it did surprise me. Most people were, coaches that I ran into. Hey, you see Naples beat Early College, yeah, that's a huge win for them, and they're off to a good start. I know they had a couple guys that have been playing together. Isaiah Tilly, you've heard about for about the last 3-4 years, so. I definitely marked down an extra date or two on my scouting schedule to check out Naples. I'm going down January 7th.
You're going down to Naples?
I'm going to Naples. going to Naples. HAC plays at Naples.
Oh, a good opportunity to.
So I will be there January 7th. Anybody wants to take the ride with me?
I might. I'm a big Green Machine fan. Yeah. Coach Mick Salter, legendary coach down in Naples. We have him on the schedule against South Seneca in January, Burke, it'd be interesting to see, too, where they fall in our power rankings this week.
Yeah, they're a team who, over the last couple of years, they've done well in the Finger Lakes West. A couple of years ago, they had a really good team, and I think they ended up, I think they got crushed by Clyde in sectionals at one point.
They lost in the semis 2 years ago.
Yeah, pretty bad. Yeah. So, I'm sure they're a team, we talked about some of those players, but they were sophomores back then, and I'm sure that their sophomore year didn't end as planned. Now they're seniors and ready to make a run for the West title in that Class C3.
The other big action in Red Jacket, big holiday tournament featuring Geneva and Minders and Red Jacket. And then RCMCS, still not sure, Zach, who that is. You know what those
– It is Rochester Career – Mentoring something school. I don't know about the last C, but I got 4 out of the 5.
That's not
so
bad.
I'll take it.
Well, when you bring a school with that much tradition into a tournament, it really elevates the stature. So all eyes were on Red Jacket. And Geneva going into the tournament at 0-6. They go ahead and beat RCMCS. 88-84 in a game that Marquand Ross had 33 points and 11 rebounds, not to mention 4 assists, 3 blocks, and 3 steals. And then they come out and they got a rematch against Minders in a non-league game, which that's kind of weird. I would think you'd want to avoid that whenever it happens because they'll play Geneva now 3 times.
Yeah, definitely strange. I know there was one tournament we thought about getting into, but there's somebody else in our league, so I try to avoid that at all costs. But
it wasn't guaranteed to play, but, of course, they both won. Geneva beat, Red Jacket in the first round, 56-45, 11-point win behind 15 points and 8 rebounds from Ben Cafola. And so they met in the finals, and there was a rematch of the game that was played in Geneva that Minders won, I think, by 4 points, close down the stretch. And this time, Geneva wins by 13, 62-49. Marquand Ross again, 23 points. Minders was led by Liam Carher with 17. And Virk, what's your thoughts on that? I mean, is that a really bad loss for Minders?
No, I don't think so. I think it's a game. You've talked to Coach Miller a lot. I think he thought his team was going to get better. They got a lot of they're replacing 99.9% of their scoring from last year. So he's got some athletes. He's got some kids who are going to get better as the year goes on. And they it wasn't. the first Geneva Minders game was tight, and the Geneva team, you know, they're getting better. And I wasn't shocked that Geneva beat them. I was shocked maybe that it was a 12-point margin. But, you know, overall, you know, you got some of these guys. Marquand Ross, you know, he had 34 the one night and comes back against Minders with 23. You know, I think they're a team that's going to they're going to get some wins this year in the Finger Lakes. You know, I wouldn't say they're going to be in the upper echelon with the Palmac, Penny, and Newark, but you know, they're gonna definitely get a bunch of wins this year.
Well, Marquand Ross with those two offensive output games, it was unlike anything Geneva has had so far this year. And you know, I think Brian Miller thinks he's playing every team that beat him so far in the East again. I think he thinks he can still figure into the league, not only because he thinks his team's getting better, but because the league as a whole maybe not as strong as we thought heading in at the top.
Oh, sure. There's, you know, there's not the dominant teams like a Geneva or Newark from last year. But, you know, I haven't seen Geneva personally this year. But, you know, right now, Penny and Newark and Palmyra, Macedon seem to be the three top-tier teams. And, you know, and I think, was it Palmyra beat Geneva pretty good this year?
Yeah, by over 20.
Yeah, so, you know, I think, you know, yeah, they're going to get better. But I don't know if they're ready to make that step into that, you know, the top three.
It could be one of those teams, you know, they're young, get a couple wins. They kind of play some of the teams that are a little down in the league, get some confidence, and then maybe the second time around give somebody a scare.
Brutal start to the season schedule-wise, yeah, for Miller. What do you tell your guys if you're 0-6, Zach? Even if you have, I don't think you've ever been in a situation like that since you've been at Lions, but how do you get
– not on varsity. Well, I have Coach JV every once in a while. We start out that bad. just got to keep grinding. You know, the hardest thing in that part, if you yell and scream and go crazy, yeah, then that affects everybody. So you try to stay as positive as you can, look for things to improve on. And I'm sure the kids from Geneva walked away with a ton more confidence, feeling good about themselves, and maybe, you know, excited for the rest of the year.
Well, congratulations to the Panthers on their first two wins and the championship at Red Creek. One other big holiday tournament was in Gananda, and it was kind of a surprise in the finals, or in the consolation, sorry. In the first round, it was School of the Arts beating Gananda 60-50, and it was Greece Odyssey taking out Midlake 68-62, so Midlake's moved to 0-5. And then they faced in the consolation game, the game that we really cared about. In the finals, it was School of the Arts beating Odyssey 67-42. But in the consolation game, Midlake 60, Gananda 57. Brad Doway?
Doway?
Yeah, 26 yeah, points for Gananda. And Midlake's led by Kenny DeVay with 16. And you played Midlake, Zach, did you? And you've played Gananda this year so far. So what's your take on this one?
I think I would have picked Gananda at home to win the game. I know the first night that Gananda's point guard didn't play because he was in – I heard a car accident. I'm not sure if that's right. But then he did play versus Midlakes. So, you know, maybe one of those games. Gananda had a pretty good chance to beat School of the Arts, who was 9-0. Maybe a little bit of a letdown game, you know. Maybe, you know, just thinking, hey, Midlakes is 0-5. We're going to come in and – Midlakes, if they can make some shots, is, you know, they're capable, and it seems like they handled the pressure all right. Pressure, you know, getting the ball over half court and take care of it. And you know, Kenny's a pretty good player. He's only a junior, and he had double figures versus us. But you know, I would have thought that they would have had a little bit of an advantage. But credit to Midlakes going on the road and getting the first W for Coach Zirkus, one of my personal buddies.
Yeah, nice to get that first win for Geneva and Midlakes this week. A couple other non-tournament games. Waterloo-South Seneca, a game that we were kind of interested in. 59-43, Waterloo wins behind a balanced scoring attack. Kyle Bailey had 15, Jonathan Jones had 14, the Sheriff, Nick Stenberg, had 13, and Dikembe Ayers had 11. For South Seneca, it was the great emancipator, Lincoln Backman Lowe, 16 points, 12 rebounds. He's pretty consistent in the double-double category for the Falcons. And Eric Dresser had 9 points and 10 rebounds. And, Zach, you're going to call the game with Brendan Harrington and Tane Robinson, three-man booth for a varsity night doubleheader tomorrow night, Monday. North Rose Wolcott at Waterloo. And what's your take on this one? Dikembe Ayers is not going to play in that game, by the way, so that should play a factor. But if you're handicapping that game heading in, what do you think?
I think North Rose is playing a little bit better at this point, and I did see him play this summer over in our summer league. Waterloo beat him. And it's a great matchup down low between Stevenson and Deming, who I think are two of the better post players in the league. You know, I think the key for Waterloo will be that, you know, they have to shoot the ball well, and they have to answer North Rose guards. And I think missing, you know, Ayers not being able to play will be a factor, because he's a pretty good athlete, and I think he could have bothered Tyler Norris a little bit. But, you know, Waterloo's a tough place to play, especially for North Rose. Never really played there. It's that big open space gym, and I think it's going to be a good competitive game.
Yeah, speaking of Norris and North Rose, we haven't really had a good look at them yet. I think they're 3-0, and we're talking about them being atop the Wayne County League chase with Lions, Red Creek, it's looking like. And, you know, who knows, maybe ER, maybe Ganana, maybe Clyde, but it's a pretty balanced league. But we've got North Rose near the top. And would you think less of them as a title contender in Wayne County if they lost that game to Waterloo?
Not necessarily less of them. I think it's a good game for them going in. I know they play Red Creek Friday, and it's a step up in competition. You know, I think two of their wins have been against, you know, they beat Marion and they beat Williamson, I think. They were supposed to play Ganada, got canceled due to a chorus concert or band concert or something. So it's a good step up in competition. I know, talking to Coach Hoyt a couple times, they just want to play some games. They only had three games before Christmas, so they get two games in this week. And I think if you put Waterloo in Wayne County, you know that they're in most games. You know, I don't think that it would be an awful loss for North Rose if they lost. And it obviously doesn't count in the standings.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think North Rose plays well, and Waterloo plays well. I think North Rose just a little bit more talented, especially with Ayers out. But should be a good game.
Virk, what is it with Waterloo at 2-4? They got balance. I like all these kids. It seems like they got a lot of interchangeable, you know, guards. And then they got Ben Deming, but they're they almost beat Minders. They took care of South Seneca here.
Yeah, you know, it just it seems to be something different every game. And, you know, Deming's really been really inconsistent this year, just from looking at some box scores. You know,
he's been in a lot of foul trouble too. You know, if he's in foul trouble and he has to come out of the game, you know, you look at the Miners game with him off the court, totally different team.
Right.
So, you know, he needs to get better at that the second half of the season.
I guess it's encouraging when you look at the South Seneca game. You know, Deming's not in the top four scorers, and, you know, they win pretty handily. So it's good that, you know, you got that balance. But, you know, he's a kid who, you know, he should be good for 20-10 every night, I would think. You know, in the Miners game, he came out there in the second quarter for 5 minutes, and Miners kind of built that big lead. Then Waterloo had to crawl back into it all night long. But, you know, Waterloo, these kids have been playing. A lot of them have been on varsity for 2-3 years now. And I think they just need to get some wins under their belt and just kind of get a little bit more confident and, kind of – take that next step.
And they're still on an upswing. All these kids are juniors. Jonathan Jones, a senior, I believe, but and Bailey a junior, Stenberg a junior, Ayers a junior, and Deming a junior. So the core of that team, juniors. Ganada played again this week, beating Sodus. Brad Doe had 16 points there. And that was a 54-37 final. And, you know, Sodus now, I think that puts them at 1-4, and they were another team with Ron Derek Morris, who, by the way, emailed us for his T-shirt.
Nice.
As player of the week last week. But at 1-4, Zach, are you surprised? I mean, I think you were touting Sodus early on, saying this might be a team to watch.
Their only wins versus us, so.
Oh, that's true. But, yeah, again, that was the day you had Hunter out.
Yeah. I still think there's time for Sodus to figure it out, but I was a little surprised by that score, them only scoring 37 versus Gananda. I thought offensively they'd be able to put together a better game, but, you know, they're still young. They're very young besides Ron Derek, and Ron Derek hasn't played with them that much. I know they play, World of Inquiry this week at home. So they're still a team to me that is scary down the stretch.
And one more game, actually two more games that weren't in tournament games. Geneva lost to School of the Arts 75-62. But School of the Arts 8-0, by the way. They play a lot of games against the Finger Lakes teams. One other game. Penyan takes out Bath Haverling in, at Bath Haverling, 64-46. They move to 5-0. Sean Emerson has 19 points. And looking more and more every day like they're the team that's going to be pushing Newark in the East. Rick, what do you think?
Yeah, you know, Penyan and Palmyra, and I think they're, you know, they're the teams who are going to challenge Newark. You know, Penyan beat Bath earlier in the season, so they come back and you know, beat them up pretty good again. And, you know, I saw Penyan play against Minders, and they're a well-balanced team that the kids seem to play well together. They seem to like each other. You know, I didn't – they're not real big, which, you know, obviously that's not their fault. But, you know, if there's – but they're tough. You know, they all box out. They're all – you know, can shoot the ball. They all take the ball to the hole. You know, I liked what I saw from them against – when I saw them play against Minders.
And you scrimmaged them, Zach, I think, didn't you?
I scrimmaged Penyan. And I've watched Pelmac a couple times. I think that's going to be a fun game. They're both very guard-oriented. They have a lot of kids that can take it off the dribble, get to the basket. Not a lot of size, like you said. Both teams play well together. And I think it's just going to be the team that can slow the other one down a little bit in that type of matchup. But those three teams seem to be, you know, the upper crest of the East right now. We do play Palmyra later on in the year. So that'll be a good test for us out of league.
Well, one other note here before we step aside for 30 seconds. Union Springs boys basketball team disbands right before their CUGA tournament. Did you hear about that?
I did. I just saw the article. I didn't understand why they disbanded.
No, they wouldn't say why. They said that they...
Because they're having a decent... They're winning some games,
I talked with a couple coaches down there or through via text, and they just said they don't know what the deal is. I wish I had some of their players. So I don't know if, you know... You hate to speculate. Was it a hazing thing? Was it a?
Well, it could be anything. Yeah.
It could be anything. But it's the crummy thing about it was it happened at 1 or 2 p.m. before the day of the holiday tournament, so it put other teams that they couldn't play. You know,
think you're gonna play two games, you got one,
and everybody else the rest of the year on their schedule is out games. So,
going forward.
It puts some of those teams in a tough spot.
And those
spot.
Are sectional points that you can't, like, get
well,
back.
Well, right now, if they don't find another game, they should get those sectional points. I know that's the way
it works. Oh, it's a forfeit.
I know that's the way it works in Section 5.
Okay, gotcha.
But it's still, you know, you'd like to play the games for sure.
And, you know, out of our section and our leagues that we cover, but certainly interesting to see that. That was kind of a shocker out of nowhere, so... as I mentioned, we're going to step aside for about 30 seconds, but when we come back, we're going to have... our players of the week, and our Wayne Finger Lakes power rankings, and our girls Super 6 rankings, so hang tight.
Guidance and partnership through every step of the journey. Welcome to Generations Bank.
Good luck to all of our student athletes this high school sports season.
And welcome back inside the FingerLakes1.com studio. Jim Sinacropi up here alongside Matt Verkey and Lions Varsity Boys head coach Zach Young. And it's that time of the show, Verk, where we hand out our Player of the Week honors. The Player of the Week wins a FingerLakes1.com t-shirt. And to claim that t-shirt, you do have to email us at upstatehoops@FingerLakes1.com with your address and your t-shirt size. Ron Derrick didn't send his zip code, so I'm going to have to do a little more work than I'd hope to get the t-shirt to him. Got to find that soda zip code. But, yeah, that's how you do it. So this week, Verk, I'm going to let you lead it off. What do you got?
I got Marquand Ross of Geneva, who just, you know, we already talked about. I had, obviously, a great tournament, 33 points, 11 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 blocks, 3 steals, versus RCMCS, and then came back with 23 points in a big victory against Minders. So that was kind of that was an easy pick.
Yeah, and a no-brainer there for sure. And I went with Brad Doway. from Gananda, 16 points versus Sotus and 26 in a losing effort versus Midlakes. But in a light week, Virk, those numbers stood out, and I hadn't heard much about this kid from Gananda. Yeah, obviously, you've seen him play before. What's his game like, Zach?
You can take it to the basket. I talked with Coach Zirkus from Midlakes, and he said he made everything versus him in the second game. So I think he made second team All-League last year. Pretty athletic kid.
Well, he's got a T-shirt coming if he's tuning in and wants to email us at upstatehoops@fingerlakes1.com. Marquan Ross of Geneva, Brad Delway of Gananda, our Upstate Hoops Players of the Week. So now we move it on to the power rankings. Top 10 teams in the Wayne Finger Lakes League, Virk. And also we're going to start weekly our Girls Super 6 power rankings. Why don't we start out with the girls, Virk? Why don't you reveal the inaugural...
All right, and this is, you know, obviously we don't get to see the girls as much as the boys, but just, right. You know, looking at the standings and stuff like that. I think I'll go number one, I got Geneva. I think they're kind of the favorite coming into this year. They returned everybody from a team who really, really should have won a sectional championship last year. They kind of tossed it away at the end against Wayne. And then probably the surprise team this year in the girls, I would say, is Midlakes. I got them at number two. They're undefeated. They beat Paul Mack this year. Having a really good season so far. Number three, I got Wayne. Coming off a sectional title last year, they returned a few of those girls. They've been pretty good the last few years. Then four, Romulus. I don't know. It's tough to judge. You know, I don't know who exactly they played. They were down big to South Seneca and came back and beat them. But, when you win 26 games in a row and you're coming off a state championship game, you know, Zoe McDonald puts up, you know, she seems to get like 18, 20 rebounds a game and, you know, 10 to 20 points every game.
Rare to see a Class D school here in the, you know, top six of the leagues.
I think they deserve it for their body of work over the last 2 years. And tough to keep them out when they haven't lost a game in a couple of years.
Yep.
And then number five, I'm going to go with Minders, the team I've seen play a couple times this year. Really on the upswing this year. They've kind of gotten beaten up in the league over the last few years and done well in sectionals, though. But, this year they've competed with Geneva. They almost beat Palmyra up in Palmyra. So, I think they're right there behind Geneva, Midlakes, and grouped in with Wayne and that maybe that second tier. And then last is Palmac. You know, they're kind of struggling a little bit right now. They haven't been able to pull out any of these close games. But, they got the Vanderwall girl who's obviously maybe the best player in the league probably. So, you can never count them out.
All right, Virk, there's our top six. We got six Palmac, five Minders, four Romulus, three Wayne, two Midlakes, and one Geneva. And at the urging of Minders head coach Jerry Anderson, we decided to, create this ranking to track the top of the girls.
Yeah, it's tough to keep track of everything, but we'll try our best.
Hey, yeah. We got a lot of free time, right?
Yeah.
Boys power rankings. This week's power rankings. Nobody dropped out. We still got four from the East, three from Wayne County, three from the West. Also receiving votes this week, Geneva, Clyde Savannah, and HAC. And that brings us to the top 10. Dundee at 10 beat HAC in South Seneca. Nine, Minders, they dropped from 8. Dundee was at 10 last week. 9, Minders falls from 8 after beating Red Jack and losing to Geneva. That moves Marcus Whitman up one spot to 8. North Rose Woolcott falls one spot from 6 to 7 without playing. And it was Naples taking their spot, moving up 1 to 6 after beating Early College in Prattsburg this week in Prattsburg. And then we move into the top 5. We have Red Creek at 4-0, the second highest Wayne County team in our rankings behind Lions at 4. 4-1, the one loss coming short a few guys, most notably Damon Hunter, starting point guard. They were 4 last week. They hold steady without playing. Palmac at 3, undefeated. 3 last week, didn't play this week. And then we got Penn Yan holding steady at 2. They beat Bath Haverling, stand at 5-0. And then number 1 without playing, we have Newark. They're at 4-1. Their one loss coming to Fayetteville Manlius. And, you know, Zach, let me, what do you think about this top 10? Is there anything you'd change?
If I had to change anything, looking at it, I would drop Whitman. I think Dundee and Minders are both better. I think Geneva's better, too. No offense to Marcus Whitman.
Yeah, well, that's a tough thing. And we talk, you know, that's one of the things that was talked about is, you know, Geneva's 2-6, but you really kind of feel like they might be a top 10 team, but do you deserve to put them in there? And obviously the voters decided no.
I think you got to, you know, look at, you know, who would win head-to-head. Sometimes you got to think about, you know, Geneva, obviously, and Marcus Whitman play very different schedules. You know, you throw Marcus Whitman against Geneva's schedule, they might not have a win. In reality, so it, you know, it's tough.
Yeah, so it's tough to have, you know, like Minders 9 when they just lost to Geneva, but body of work at this point, you know, Minders I think is 5-2, is that right? 5-2, and they did pick up a win over Red Jacket, but they did drop one spot. So Newark's still number one. What's your take on the top, Zach? Palmac, Penyan, and Newark. Do we got those guys ranked appropriately at the top?
I think it's the same as us, Red Creek and North Rose, you know. Nobody's really played each other yet. Everyone's won a lot of the games they're supposed to. I haven't really got a chance to watch Newark play, so I guess I will have to not comment on that. But Tyler Collins is pretty darn good.
Yeah.
And I watched this highlight thing he put together. That was pretty impressive. He's a good player. And, like, I think I've watched Penyan play, and we scrimmaged him, obviously, and I've watched Palmyra play. I think that's going to be a really good game.
Yeah.
I just haven't got to see Newark in person yet either.
Now, you like it when the league's balanced like this, or does it kind of scare you a little bit? Because you look at your schedule, and you could literally say, geez, if we don't play well, we could lose 4 or 5 in a row. I can also win 4 or 5 in a row.
Do I like it? It's more challenging.
Right.
I think that the kids are more engaged when all your games are competitive. You know, I've had a season or two where, you know, 2 years ago it was pretty much us and Clyde, and we could coast through some games. It wasn't, you know, you didn't think the kids always played up to it. But I think our kids realize, you know, that really there's not a lot of nights off in our league, and it's you know, you gotta come prepared, and if you drop one that you're supposed to, or you know, it's going to hurt you. You know, we dropped one already. Obviously, we were missing some guys, but that's going to be a major factor for the league chase if we're unsuccessful.
So, Virk, we talked about the North Rose Waterloo webcast on Monday night, but before we're back up here in studio for the next episode of Upstate Hoops, we have a second webcast on Friday night from the Atwood Gymnasium. It's Lions hosting Clyde Savannah from the Atwood, the historic Atwood, and they said it couldn't be done, but we're going to do it, and you're going to be there with Dave Barnick to call it.
Yeah, that should be fun. You know, a lot of memories of that gym, you know, from attending Lions games over the years. But
when your dad coached, right?
Yeah. You know, just spent a lot of time over there.
It was asphalt,
you
know, back then, wasn't it?
It was like cement at one point, I think.
Yeah,
it wasn't good, but It's a great home court, I think. You know, I've always like that gym, just like I like Minders gym. I think it's a good home court when it's packed at Minders and loud, and same at Lions. Small, but it can get really loud, and you know, you tend to see the same people in the crowd a lot. You know, they've been there the last 25 years, so it's always a fun place to go. And you know, Lions Clyde, you know, it doesn't really get any better than that. And you know, it should be a great matchup. You know, Clyde should be at full strength, Lions should be at full strength, hopefully. So you know, it should be a little interesting. You know, Michael Turner's going to be back for Clyde. And they got a young freshman in Derek Chance who's looking to make some noise. So it's
for my money, it's the best rivalry around our area. It's, you know, I know Waterloo Minders, you know, growing up, I was a part of that. But just being able to coach there in Lions in some awesome games versus Clyde over the last couple of years, it's a wild environment. The kids really, really look forward to it. It's a difficult game sometimes for them to play in, just because emotions sometimes run so high. The football game this year, if I know some people out there who are watching, are probably, that was one of the best high school football games of the year, Lions Clyde. A lot of kids know each other. They want that bragging right. You know, they want to be able to say they won that game. And I know on our goals, that was, you know, one of the kids put it above sectionals almost on his sheet.
Really?
You know, he wanted to beat Clyde. He hasn't been able to beat Clyde. He lost to him in football in 2 years, and you know, we got swept by him last year. So he really wants, he really wanted to get that win. So it'll be a fun environment. I'm not sure if it's going to be as packed as normal with the kids being out on break. It's a little bit of a scheduling quirk, but I'm sure most of them will get the memo that.
Well, there might be some people in town too that normally
wouldn't be. True. When the college kids are home, you know, a lot of people will come to that game as well. So, yeah. And it's nice that it's on a Friday. Sometimes we play it on a Tuesday or Thursday, but the Friday night game does well, and I hope everybody buys a lot of concessions because that's my biggest fundraiser of the year. So come on out and
play home game.
Buy some pizza and water and Gatorade.
And if you can't make it, of course, you tune in Finger Lakes One Sports. You got Barnick and Verkey on the call.
Yeah, and I agree with Zach. It's, you know, the best rivalry going in this area, I think, for high school sports, just given that they've both been good. You know, I don't know when the last time Waterloo boys beat the Minders boys was, off the top of my head. Been a few years, I think. But, Lions and Clyde, especially the last 3-4 years.
Last year, Clyde won the title. 2 years ago, Lions won the title, league title. So, yeah, it's basically been trading hands between those two schools for decades. And, we love it. We've always done Lions at Clyde. Because we were a little leery of the Atwood. It's a tight environment, less room for us to operate. We think we got figured out thanks to Athletic Director Steve Veter, who's really cooperative and excited that we're coming. So that's Friday night. And then, Zach, like I said, tomorrow night you'll be with Tane Robinson and Brendan Harrington in Waterloo for a boys-girls varsity doubleheader, North Rose Woolcott Cougars against the Waterloo Indians. So... And I'll take a quick look at the week ahead before we head out of here. We've got Monday, tomorrow night, North Rose at Waterloo, as I mentioned. 6 p.m. on Finger Lakes One Sports is the girls' game. 7:30 is the boys' game. And we also have Pell Mac, Wayne, and Clyde Savannah playing at the Wayne Tournament along with College Prep. And that's a really good grouping there. Another chance where maybe Wayne ends up playing a league mate in Palmyra Mazanin. But really good tournament there. Penn Yan is at the Honeyway Falls Lima Tournament. I believe they play Livonia, which we're talking about them in Newark. Newark beat Livonia pretty handily, so now we'll see how Penn Yan fares against the Bulldogs in Honeyway Falls. Newark is playing at the Rush Henrietta Tournament against Jamestown, and credit to Newark, they're not afraid to go anywhere. They play Fayetteville Manlius, and now they're heading up to Rochester to Rush Henrietta to play some of these city schools to the east and the west. And as Zach mentioned earlier, World of Inquiries at SOTUS at 6 o'clock on Tuesday. And then we got the New Year's holiday, then Friday night, Clyde Savannah at Lions, 7:30 p.m. on Finger Lakes One Sports. Marion's at SOTUS at 7 o'clock, and then a really good game Friday night opposite the Clyde Lions game. It's North Rose Woolcott at Red Creek, and both will be undefeated in the league when they meet there. So,
yeah, first place is on the line.
Yeah, early in the season. That will be the first games of 2015, and then on Saturday we have Mid Lakes at Livonia, 7:30 p.m. And also should mention the nice tournament in Canandaigua. Victor plays in that one, and I kind of miss those guys being in the Finger Lakes leagues. But a nice little rivalry they have amongst each other. But they really neither one competes at the in their Monroe County league.
It was their choice.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hey Zach, thanks for sitting in with us. Always great when we can get you up here. A lot of great insight, and I'm looking forward to seeing you tomorrow night calling the game behind the mic, and then Friday night coaching. So thanks.
Does it all?
He does. He does. Versatile.
I was gonna go to the North Coast game anyway. Might as well talk a little bit.
And I think you'll really enjoy calling the game with Brendan Harrington and Tane. It should be a good crew. I know I'm looking forward to it. So thanks for joining us on the Upstate Hoops podcast on FingerLakes1.tv. Be sure to subscribe on YouTube, iTunes, and Stitcher.com. Have a great week. Happy New Year. And we'll see you back here next Sunday night at 9 o'clock for the first show of 2015.
swine.